Jeff's the founder and
founder
at the Denver Institute.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Hey, one thing I wanted to say real quick, too. Don't want to do any false advertising, but our friend Chris Sinclair couldn't come this morning. It was on the ad. His mother is sick. His mother just got sick, and so he's visiting his mom home in Oklahoma. So we'll put Chris on a future docket. So what I wanted to do is start off this morning. We got a little feedback, too, of thinking, can we start off the stories, though, with kind of a theological foundation for entrepreneurship? And that's kind of where I wanted to start a little bit today. First, let me give a little introduction to who I am. I started Denver Institute back in 2012, 2013. I really felt called to start an organization that explored what the gospel meant for the world and for all the ways we work in the world as well. I felt like we didn't talk nearly enough about what faith meant for everything from law to healthcare to business, and I felt called to lead that. And then about, not less than a year in, I came to realize that I have a lot more in common with other founders and entrepreneurs than I thought. Don't know what you don't know until you get into it. It's probably actually a good thing that you don't know. You would never, if you were actually totally counting the cost, you'd probably never start anything as well. One of the reasons we wanted to start this gathering of early stage founders and entrepreneurs is because we need each other. We need to figure out what it looks like to build healthy businesses from a deep heart that is actually serving the needs of our city as well as serving God as well. So I want to give about a 10-15 minute intro to faith and entrepreneurship as we set some theological foundations that even will frame some of our some of our panel today. So here is the first point. We'll talk a little bit about creation. We're actually going to do it in 3 points this morning. We'll talk about creation, fall, and then we're going to talk about the great commandment. So here's the first point I wanted to make as we start off today, is that God creates a world that provides for human flourishing. So in the beginning of the Genesis narrative, right, God creates. He creates for 6 days and he rests for one. And Genesis says that this is working. God is actually working in his act of creation. So it's not so much that God is an entrepreneur, it's that people, though, are made in the image of a maker, as Dorothy Sayers would say. We are made in the image of a creator. And so that when we work, we do something good. We do something good, and we turn, actually, the raw stuff of creation, the world, into this, right? So human work makes civilization, everything from houses to pipes to sandwiches to wall art to electricity to everything we see in this room. This is the difference of work, right? We go from, in the beginning, God creates the physical material of the worlds, and then we have human civilization. As we start to think about entrepreneurship provides. It provides for the needs of the world. And I made this point at a previous conference that I was at, but I just wanted to start here this morning as well, that business is a key aspect of providing for the needs of the world. So what does business provide? Business is God's chosen instrument to provide, first, the goods and services we depend on every day, right? Everything you see in this room, some business made it, produced it, thought about it, and brought it to market right here as well. So an illustration of this, here's my friend Dan Dye. He speaks to our fellows every year. He's a CEO at Ardent Mills, which is a flour producer. Here's him talking about some of their processes as well. And 100 million people every single day eat an Ardent Mills product. 100 million people, all right? He sees his work as, he says, nourishing the world. This is what Dan says. And so when he thinks about his work every single day, it's not only about margins, it's also about providing the needs of the world, and bread is one of those really foundational elements of providing for the needs of others. The second aspect of what business provides is meaningful work. We use Carla as an example oftentimes, but Carla is a chief business development officer at Wayfield Group Electrical Contracting, and she believes that providing meaningful work is a way for people to express God's image and to kind of express their dignity as well.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
it's an awesome one. I don't know. That would actually be a Pat Riley question. Do you like it? Retro? No, I don't know what it is. So that could be retro. The third thing it is talks about is that business provides the wealth needed to afford those goods and services, right? My friend Barry Rowan says that business is the only institution that creates wealth. All other institutions distribute wealth as well. So as we think about entrepreneurship and kind of this call to partner with God in creation and provide for the needs of the world, Entrepreneurs have a really critical opportunity in our society to provide and to serve the needs of others. One of the other things I want to say in the creation narrative as well is, though, that God creates the world with potential. God creates the world with potential. So this is interesting that at the beginning, when God creates everything, not everything is totally made, right? Not everything is totally made. So you have these great redwood forests, but he knew that at one day people would come and they would take a look at these enormous forests and say, what could I make with that piece of wood? What could I make with that, right? The point of this, I think, in the creation narrative that's really important is that when you start a business, what's really, I think, fun about entrepreneurship is that your business may do things in the future that you couldn't have ever dreamed of, right? You may hire people. You may actually create products and services that were not even in your original concept before. But entrepreneurship has the opportunity to create businesses that have all sorts of potential in them as well. And I think another thing as well that I've learned from my own journey of entrepreneurship is that I'm a big planner, but if you plan everything out to the hilt, people in your organization feel like you're driving them through a strategic plan rather than feeling like image bearers. And I think what's interesting in God's creation is that he provides the opportunity for people to express their own image bearing, their own image, their own creativity. And so thinking about entrepreneurship and faith in entrepreneurship, what does it look like to not make every decision, but to leave decisions open for customers, for your employees, for your investors, of what it might be in the future? So briefly, entrepreneurship outflows of God's creative activity in all of creation. The second aspect I wanted to talk about, here's the summary. Christian faith calls entrepreneurs to provide for the needs of the world through businesses that meet genuine human needs, and to create space for others to realize their potential as God's image bearers. So that's creation. Second thing, let me talk briefly about the fall, and the world becomes distorted through idolatry. So if creation is in Genesis 1 and 2, in Genesis 11, there's the world's largest startup right there. Here's the Tower of Babel, right? So they were well-capitalized. They had a killer leadership team. They had all of the world's people coming together to build this great big tower. But the issue with the Tower of Babel was pride. The issue with the Tower of Babel was pride, that there's this key phrase in that their motive was to make a name for themselves. And whenever I see that in the Tower of Babel, I think, how much of my own entrepreneurship has been to make a name for myself? So that people know what I've done, so people can all know the work of my own hands. The world does become distorted when people, instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship something else, right? So actually, I want to go over a few different ideas here. Let me talk about one verse, from the book of Micah. Talks about justice and the good purpose of business, and then actually how business can get distorted as well. So this is a verse from Micah. It says this: He has shown you, a mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord your God require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is a good thing. You've probably heard this verse before. But the next verse that we oftentimes don't quote is right after that, and it's actually about business practice. It says, Listen, the Lord is calling to the city. Am I to forget your ill-gotten treasures, you wicked house? Shall I quit someone with dishonest scales, with a bag of false weights? See, in even the time of the prophets in ancient Israel, there were people that were engaging in business activity, but it was more about value extraction rather than value creation. It wasn't so much about service as it was as how can we profit and take off of here. So as we think about the fall, I think we do actually have to think about how the fall affects our business and our entrepreneurship on a day-to-day basis. So, for instance, in business growth, what's good is that people are served, right? If you guys are doing everything from a mortgage platform to soap that keeps bugs away, it keeps malaria away, like this is obviously a very good thing as well. But if business growth becomes really the idol, people become commodified. They become commodified. People, instead of being served, people are used. You think about customers in terms of, oh, there's dollar bills. Employees, you're a means to an end. Investors, I need that to get to this success, this thing right here. So business growth has a good aspect, but it can become distorted if it's idolized as well. We see this in the fall. A couple of other good things. Productivity. What's good about productivity is fruitfulness. Actually, the be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1, the Hebrew of that actually has connotations of being living a productive life, of actually bringing about more fruitfulness from creation. But if productivity becomes idolized, it feels like what oftentimes a lot of entrepreneurship feels like. It feels like speed, time crunch. Actually feels like emotional and spiritual exhaustion. How much can you get done in a very, very short period of time becomes the question with entrepreneurship. And this is actually what we see a lot at Denver Institute. People lose track of meaning, of purpose. They lose track of who am I becoming? And that's one of the main things that we want to talk about, even Entrepreneurs Forum. We talk a lot about, we have a lot of startup communities in the metropolitan area, but very few that are talking about spiritual formation and our character. The third thing I'm going to talk about with the fall is what's good money. Money provides capital to help businesses grow. It's a medium of exchange. Money shouldn't be demonized as long as it's a means, not an end. But if it becomes an end, all sorts of bad stuff can happen. Greed, conflict, poor decisions. Maybe you got an investor that you shouldn't have had in your startup as well. We have to think about how the fall is actually distorting our hearts, our lives, our business, and the systems that we're a part of. Because if we don't do that, we may actually be perpetuating some of the things that are wrong with the world instead of what's right with the world. So here's my kind of thesis, is that if you have creation, business is good. The fall, you can see it distorting kind of our business culture. Here's the great commandment as applied to entrepreneurship. The healing of entrepreneurship and business happens through loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the highest and the great commandment. I actually think something that we don't talk about is that what would it look like for us to refocus every single decision, every single HR, capital raising relationships, the culture of our business, and we take it to prayer, we seek wise counsel from other believers. What would it look like to deeply attune the heart to God with the day-to-day? And God's voice was really number one. Like, it was not investors or employees or customers, right? Not even your spouse. Now, be careful, though, because your spouse oftentimes does. God uses, used my spouse quite a few times to speak to me. But what if God's voice was really, really number one? I wanted to give you an illustration of this that doesn't come from our startup culture, but he is such a baller. His name is Frank Laubach. He was a missionary to the Philippines, actually, in the 20th century. And he wrote a book. He wrote a book called Game with Minutes. And the idea of his Game with Minutes is, he said, what if I could turn my mind to God 1 second out of every minute? Just 1 second out of every minute. So he would actually play this game with minute. He'd have a little clock that would bing, and he would just turn his mind to God and be present to God. Like, think of practicing the presence, right? And he said, you know, that feels like to me totally impossible. And he said, actually, in this book, he said, it was hard. It was extremely difficult. It was painfully difficult to do this every single minute of the day. But he also said that everything else in his life became easy when he did this. He felt like he was being carried through the day. And he lived in a very difficult context. Now, his startup had huge, huge impact. He started a literacy campaign. He cared a lot about anti-poverty as well as literacy. And he started a literacy campaign called Each One, Teach One. And through his lifetime, it was used to teach about 60 million people to read in their own language. 60 million people. He had this enormous impact. But my guess is, I mean, maybe I'm sure he had stress, but it wasn't from like the I'm going to drive and make this happen sort of stress. God actually used him in a really incredible way to make great things happen. And this is, I think, one of the key differences of a faith community gathering, thinking about entrepreneurship rather than other communities, of thinking about what would it look like to first turn my mind to God. I actually think the motive for our work is really important as we kind of start our conversations today. The motive for our work is super important. If it's to make a name for ourselves, right, and it's to show people all the great things that we can do, and one of the things that I'm concerned about is so many young entrepreneurs wanting to get in entrepreneurship thinking that's where I'm going to make my impact on the world, right? It's just a me culture. It's just a typical secular me culture right there, right? But the other side of that is the parable of the talents here, right? God entrusts people with 1, 2, or 5 talents, and he expects them to be risked, to say, you are to bring back 5. It was actually the one who got in trouble was the one who didn't risk anything and went and buried his talents as well. So I think, actually, when we think about entrepreneurship and we start to put a theological frame around it, the motive that we have, I think this is actually a daily choice that we have as well. is this for me? Is this for my own glory, right? Or is this taking what God has given me and leveraging it so that one day you could hear those words, welcome into the joy of your master, well done, good and faithful servant. So I think the great commandment and the continually turning back saying, God, how can I serve you? How can I serve the well-being of your neighbors with each step of my work is really important as well. So as we kind of start off today, and that was just a brief kind of 10 to 15 minute intro of thinking about the creation narrative, thinking about fall, how it distorts our work, as well as the great commandment, I want to encourage us to think continually about especially these rhythms of spiritual formation and character formation and who we're becoming. I think this community over time will have a particular focus really on the emotional and spiritual health of entrepreneurs as we go out and build our startup as well. And again, one more slide. There you go. There's a summary. Okay, so what we're going to do right now before the panel comes up, why don't you just turn to a neighbor, get to know somebody that you're sitting next to, and we're going to turn it to the panel in a few minutes, and we're going to hear some stories of some wonderful founders in our community. So just get name and what they're up to. And if you're sitting next to a best friend, you have to talk to somebody else. So. I pointed you out.